The word authority has many applications. A person who is an expert in a particular subject area is called an authority. Another word for government at various levels is the authorities. Others are authorities in religion, others are moral authorities, who act out a sense of the violation of their own moral views. The issue of authority is a theme that runs throughout the Gospel of Matthew. Back in chapter 7, Jesus astonishes, amazed the crowds who hear him teaching as one who has authority. Not like the scribes they were used to hearing. In chapter 9, Jesus tells a paralyzed man that his sins are forgiven, which makes the scribes a little uncomfortable. Jesus tells them, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say stand up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." In our gospel passage today, Jesus' authority has been questioned. The very first verse of today's gospel says, "When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?'" To know the answer to why did they ask this question, we need to know a little bit of the background, of the context of the story. The earlier part of chapter 21 tells of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem and his cleansing of the temple. The outcome of the cleansing of the temple was a confrontation between Jesus and the chief priests and elders, which we read in our gospel lesson today. Jesus was clearly a threat to the religious and social leaders of the day. Of course, they would want to question his authority, and the questioning comes out of the security they felt in their own authority. They were the elders, they were the leaders. The chief priests were a part of spiritual lineage that went all the way back to Moses and Aaron. The scribes were the most learned theologians in Jewish society. The elders had years of experience and had the unquestioning respect of the people. But Jesus is wiser than all of them. He answered their question with a question himself. "If you tell me who gave the authority to John the Baptist to baptize, I will tell you who gave me the authority." Little did they know or appreciate that they were talking to the Son of God, the Lord of the covenant, the same covenant from which the Sadducees, scribes, Pharisees, and elders had claimed their authority. They could not answer that John's authority came from men or God because they feared a revolt from the people. So Jesus, in turn, doesn't answer their question about his authority either. He does tell them a parable. The parable sets up a comparison of two sons. One who says he will do what his father asked but doesn't, with one who says he won't but does. For every individual who hears this parable, and every one of us who hears this parable, the comparison helps us or forces us to ask the question, "Which am I? Which am I? Am I the son or daughter who presents himself or herself as obedient while running around raising havoc? Or am I the son or daughter who to all appearances is the bad person, but in the end does what is needed? Which am I?" which are you? Is this who we are as believers, as church members, as pastors, teachers, and church council members? Which am I? We can say sometimes, I am both. Sometimes I say things and I do not do. And sometimes I do things and I do not say. But the word of God says, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. That's quite hard. But the question comes if we accept the authority of our Lord. At Jesus' time, the Father had absolute authority over his children and household. Obedience was expected, even demanded. In our Old Testament reading, the authority of Moses is being questioned, and indirectly, God's authority is being questioned. The people quarrel with Moses, this time demanding, give us water to drink. And this is the second time they're asking for water. One detail of the story that is worth noting is that the people do not complain directly against the Lord, but only against Moses. But Moses interprets the complaint against himself as a complaint against God. He says, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? When we look at the world around us and we see war, famine, man-made disasters or natural disasters, do we have questions in our hearts? I suppose we do. Why is it happening? Is it from God? Who is responsible for all this? Maybe this story from the book of Exodus presents us with opportunities to give voice to our deepest fears. Is God among us or not? And of imagining the ways our God responds to us when we are thirsty in the wilderness. All we need to do is to submit to his authority in obedience. And the word of God says in Romans chapter 8 verse 32, He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not, along with him, graciously give us all things? He did not spare his own son. For example, this is a kind of not a very good analogy, but when ladies go for shopping and they buy some jewelry, they have purse full of money, what they do, they value the jewelry more than the money they have, don't they? In the same way, when God gave his son, he valued more. It may not be a very good analogy. He valued more us than his son. Think about it. He gave his son in order to save us. When we look at the verses like this, he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Authority and obedience have been tied together since Jesus began his ministry. And Jesus will connect them again after his resurrection, when he gives his disciples the Great Commission, telling them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. This means Jesus is to be obeyed. Thankfully, the one who has authority over all is merciful and will receive all who will come to him in faith. In St. Paul's letter to the Philippians that we heard earlier, read by our dear Paul, he quotes an early hymn of the church that describes Christ's authority perfectly. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He emptied himself. He became zero. We just sang a beautiful gradual hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Dear friends, all we need to do is to cling to the cross of Christ and confess his lordship over us. In Jesus, just like the rock in the wilderness, God provides for the people, God provides for us. The authority of Jesus was of a completely different order altogether. The authority of Jesus was worked out in his welcoming of sinners and prostitutes. The authority of Jesus was worked out in his welcoming of the outcast and those on the margins. Ultimately, the authority of Jesus was worked out in a life of service, not of ruling, a life hallmarked by betrayal and personal sacrifice, rejection, torture, and a criminal's death on the cross. We may not be the chief priests and elders of Jesus' day, asking the Messiah accusing questions and challenging his authority. But still, the parable speaks volumes to us. Jesus' parable is, in the end, a challenge. A challenge. It takes us how we will respond to the truth of the gospel. Will we change our hearts and minds and believe or not? Will we be the daughter or the son who pretends obedience, or the son or the daughter who turns around and changes his or heart, her heart and mind? Quarreling and testing are common human experiences. We in the church do not claim freedom from that. The parable from Matthew asks us to pay attention to whether our words match our deeds. Do we live out the faith that we profess? Do we approach even those with whom we disagree with grace and love? We can demonstrate. We can demonstrate through our words and actions if the Lord is among us or not. We can actually show through our words, the deeds, words and deeds, that we are under Christ's authority in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.